Today's scripture reading is from Numbers 11, verses 24 through 30. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those rested, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, son of the Nun, assistant of Moses, one of the chosen men, said, My Lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, Are you jealous for my sake? With that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his spirit on them. And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's a time when the church, just throughout the whole world, celebrates the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift empowers the church to give witness to Jesus Christ and to live together in Christian community. We're also recognizing this day, those gathered in celebration of National Cancer Survivors Day, raising awareness of the challenges that are faced by the survivors. This is a particularly appropriate pairing of celebrations, for both of these events are testimonies that when we feel this stirring of new life and hope, there, the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. Will you pray with me? Holy God, who breathes new life into us all, may the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts of all be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So, Pentecost. I was saying if the kiddies were gathered here, we would hear that it's also the birthday of the church. It's 50 days, if you're counting, it's 50 days since Easter. The book of Acts, the second chapter that we're most familiar with probably, talks about it then at the center of Jerusalem on that day. It was filled with overflowing from persons from all over, from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they had all come for the festival of Pentecost. The believers weren't with them. They weren't out there. They were somewhere, they're frightened and hiding in a room. They didn't know what life was going to be like, what it was they were supposed to be doing without the physical presence of Jesus. But you know, you can't hide from the wind. You can't hide from the Spirit, from the breath of God. And suddenly this mighty wind comes pouring down just through the door and onto them. Scripture says it was like tongues of fire appearing on each one of them, and it forced them out into the streets where they began to talk in other languages than their own native tongue. And the people that were gathered in the streets cooking and eating and talking to one another looked at them and thought they had been in the new wine. Peter grabbed that moment to preach. I like that. But stepped right out and gave that repentant sermon. And by the end of the day, Scripture says that little group of believers, 120 or so, had grown to 3,000. I'm telling you, Mark, this sets the mark high for preaching, doesn't it? Pentecost, the third biggest day in the Christian calendar behind the other two. This isn't rhetorical. Behind the other two big days that we celebrate. There you go. But Pentecost doesn't get very much publicity. I mean, did you guys get your happy Pentecost card in the mail today? No. Are you going to run home from here and work on those special dishes that you always make for the day of Pentecost because the family is all coming? No. Well, I just say that the stores and Hallmark hasn't latched onto it yet, which may be a good thing. And I don't know that what we have to think about here this morning is going to change Hallmark's mind, or whether we're going to have 3,000 people, Jan, lined up here. But I do know and I do expect that because it is God's word to us today, that it does have the power to change us. The lectionary had numbers, the words from scripture from Numbers, as part of our choices today, and I kind of kept pushing away from it, but finally gave up, came back to it. And it's a story about a couple of little guys named Eldad and Medad, people that we may not hear from anymore. But they survived, this little group, have survived the editor cuts all down through the ages, and so I thought there must be something there that we need to hear. It's actually a very tiny story, Eldad and Medad, very tiny story in the larger story of our people, our ancestors who were in that wilderness moving to the promised land. The wilderness was a terrible thing. It was full of scorpions and serpents and desert tribes who were wandering around and then looking at these strange people moving through their place. The wilderness is always a scary place, is it not? Anybody else been in the wilderness? It's a place that we need to stick together. But as it always happens, when you get people together and they start moving around, somebody begins to grumble. My husband isn't here at this service yet. Be here later. I grumble at home. He would tell you that. People also grumble at church. Not this one. But I have heard that there are people that grumble at churches too. But this whole congregation began to grumble. It wasn't just people in the back rows. It was the whole congregation. And they began to grumble about Moses. And you know how it is when you're walking in this group and things aren't working quite right, and you nudge that person next to you and you say, do you think we're going in circles here? Is Yahweh there with us? Then they began to think about what they had left. Pharaoh. They left because they were mistreated. They were servants. But suddenly they began to think, yeah, the work was a killer. But, you know, we ate. Didn't we eat? Woo, Pharaoh fed us well. He says, can't you just smell it? The fish and the onions and the garlic. Oh, the fruit. You know, maybe we should go back. Maybe we shouldn't have left. It wasn't that bad. Walter Brueggemann writes about this dilemma that we do have as people, thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't have left. He says, there is much in the world that attempts to turn our thoughts back again to Pharaoh, to believing that the hurt, oh, it was not so bad, that the fear had not been real, and that the prison, not so confining. Well, like all leaders do, Moses heard the people grumbling and moaning and whining, and his burden just got heavier and heavier until he began to lose confidence in himself. His courage, he felt like it was just seeping out of him. And he cried out to the Lord, Lord, I can't do this alone. If this is what you're going to do to me, then just kill me. We grumble in the church about music sometimes, about those old things they make us sing. Some grumble about the new things they don't know how to sing. Some grumble about money. Some grumble about these guest speakers and say, maybe I'll just stay home. I'll stay home for a while. I've been rebellious in my life. I've had a lot of years to do that. Rebellion can be good sometimes. But then there comes this time when into our life marches these scorpion-type things, and we find ourselves on very challenging terrain, just like the Israelites. We lose a job. We lose a reputation. We are diagnosed with a disease. Our friend, heart friend, dies. Our child dies. And we find ourselves crying out those same words that Moses, are you there? Are you? God heard Moses. God hears us crying as well. God decided that if he was going to help these people get through and keep them moving, that there was a leadership problem here and he could fix it. So God said to Moses, gather 70 of your elders and have them come, bring them down to the tent of meeting. And Moses, you have a lot of power in you, spirit in you. And we're going to share that with some of these elders so that you can have help. And Moses did what God asked him to do. Moses brought the 70 down. They lined up, and the Spirit poured over them, and immediately they began to prophesy. Two of the leaders were not there. Eldad and Medad were not there. They were still back at the camp. Now, they stayed back there and missed the meeting for some reason. And Steve, I've looked in a lot of commentaries, and I've read a lot of things, and I have not found the answer to why they stayed there. I have found what people think might have happened. One person said, Maybe they were the instigators of trying to get the people to turn back, and so they stayed there. One preacher up in New York someplace said, you know, maybe they just thought Moses was an idiot. Well, there was one that I liked, a thought that I really did like, especially thinking of us coming today and being together, is that Eldad and me dad were friends, and Eldad was ill. Eldad wanted to go. You know what that's like? Wanted to be there at the meeting, but that day he just could not get there, and I get it. Sometimes we want to go, but our body says no. And because Medad was his friend, he turned to Moses and he said, look, Eldad can't go today. Now, have you had a friend say these next words? And because he can't go, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay home with him. So Eldad and Medad weren't there. They were up in the camp. Well, you know how the wind blows where it will. And it blew across those 70 elders down into the camp and covered Eldad and Medad. And they too stood up and began to prophesy just with those gathered right there in the camp. Eldad and Medad received some of Moses' spirit. And now listen, not because of anything they did, but because of something God did. Medad and Eldad needed one another. We need to be together. Some time ago, not that long, but I had been working as a hospital chaplain. I was in a hospital in Nashville, and when I got to work one day, my supervisor said, Jackie, there's a couple upstairs. He is not doing well, and his wife asked for a chaplain and said to us, they don't go to church, and in fact, they just haven't a church at all. So he said, just go on upstairs and see what you can do. Believe me, you want me to get this. Just see what it is that they want. And so I went upstairs and introduced myself. And she said, his wife said, oh, I am glad you are here. I am glad, she said, we're by ourselves. And we don't have any other family. And she said, could you do something? And I said, well, what do you want me to do? And she says, well, how about if you pray? She said, the Lord's Prayer. And I thought, well, that would be good. You know, they don't go to church, but they do know the Lord's Prayer. And so I went over to him and pulled the chair up close and put my head down. She bowed her head. And nothing came out of my mouth. And that's very unusual. Nothing came out. I couldn't remember the first words of the Lord's Prayer. And I'm 82. I have been saying the Lord's Prayer a long time. But I couldn't say it that day. I couldn't remember. And so I mumbled something else, I guess, and I was very embarrassed. Thought I would be fired. A few days later, I was down in the lobby, and this woman came up. She said, I recognize your voice, and you were the one that came up, and I thought, oh, yeah. She says, I want you to know what that meant to us. I want you to know how important that prayer was. She said it made all of the difference knowing that you were there. You know, The Spirit had rolled into that room that day, and it wasn't anything I did. There is a profound truth, I think, and meaning in the Eldad-Medad story. I think there's two things. It doesn't matter. The first one, it doesn't matter if we're struggling with just something in our families that we are consumed by. Or maybe we're getting ready to roll up our sleeves, go on a mission trip. We're going to do something to change things. It doesn't matter what we're doing, but we need to remember Moses could not do it by himself. Moses needed help, and we need help. We need one another if we are going to tackle any of these hard times. In the words of Albert Schweitzer, he said, "Sometimes our light goes out, but it is blown again into flame by an encounter with another human being." The Pentecost message means that we are all called to prophesy. The Spirit has fallen on us, and we are called to prophesy, to give a testimony. Testimony, we're summoned to do that, like the 70 elders. And then we say, "Oh, I'm pretty old," or "I'm pretty young," or "I am really tired," or "I've already done that." Doesn't matter. We are called to prophesy. And what does that mean? How do we do that? Well, the mission, the people that are going on a mission trip, those persons that remember when they go to the grocery store, we need to have stuff for the social services. When the storms come and tear everything up and we send people, people say, "I'll go. I'll help clean up." The thing that has made them do that, to say, "I will go," it's not anything that they have done. It's what God did. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.